says record, and then we just start recording what we're talking about, and when we do the show. And I am Ike, and this is the Untitled Car Show, and with me, yeah, is Ryan West. He's over there. He, our former West Coast correspondent, now kind of stuck in the Midwest correspondent, or I guess co-host, technically. I think you upgraded yourself now.
I did upgrade myself. I upgraded myself when I started being really pushy about what we should do and what we should talk about.
This is true.
I also upgraded myself when I realized that I have a dead-end job that I don't want to be doing forever, and that I need to really be leveraging this for some, like, networking power, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like if I do an okay job at this, then when I come out of college, when I go back to college, I won't be the same as every other 22-year-old coming out. I will instead at that point be about 27 or 28. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to be like, look at me. I've done the media things. Mm-hmm.
So I have done the media.
Media stuff and media things.
Yep.
So hopefully I'm trying to leverage that as well. Like, this is not purely a passion, one could say. But you know, you got to do what you can.
True. Oh, it's, I do not blame you, because this was this is what keeps me in my dead end job, is this fulfilling me on the inside, where that does not. So that's a thing.
Gotcha.
So you've joined us on a very 2020 start of the podcast, where we're just lamenting in our own depression. So this is a car show. So
this is a car show.
Yes. So,
and the first thing I want to talk about, though, is again, one more apology for not having a webcam. You see, again, the only webcam enabled devices I have are my phone and my iPad, which, like, are passable, but then I don't get to do all the stuff I want to do with them, or my wife's laptop, which we used last week or whenever the last podcast airs, with the Apex Adjacent guys, and the webcam on that is garbage. Also, my wife is, as we speak, studying very hard for grad school, so I couldn't just go in there and steal it. I did see the other day, Ike, and I didn't look into it enough, and I feel bad about it, that Canon, I think, has a software program now where you can plug in your old Canon camera.
Hmm.
And then just use that as a webcam. So I do have a Canon camera. I have a T5i. I don't know if that's too old to use their, it's like a freeware thing that Canon put out. So I don't know if it's too old, but I'm considering doing that. And then recently I actually bought my wife, wink, wink, I bought her a Sony A6100 mirrorless. I don't know if that's still technically a DSLR or if it's just a mirrorless. I don't know what to call it anymore. But it's got two lenses and stuff, and apparently that's what a lot of the vloggers use nowadays, are a nice little Sony mirrorless camera.
Are you going to get the ring light to go along with it?
I think I might. The webcam I'm looking at has a ring light, but it's like 2 or 3 weeks out, so I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to pull the trigger on that or what. But then I'd have really good lighting, because I think I nailed it on the lighting last week.
I would say so. It was a good job, looking back at some of the footage, which I still need to do some editing. So, yeah, that's a thing. Editing. So there's that. I'm being washed out by this, which is making my ever more pale skin look ever more pale, but that's fine.
You need one of those softbox diffuser things to put up there. Surely they make one.
I feel like that was an insult to my wife, and I'm not sure why. Like,
oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So anyway,
something about softbox. No.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway,
bad jokes aside. So I went to Sonic today and I saw the Oldsmobile again. So there's that.
So the Oldsmobile still exists. It's still out there. Is that a manager or like, it's one of two people. I'm going to go with three people. It's either the GM, who's just like hilariously the GM/owner of the Sonic. I don't know if they franchise or if they're corporate.
Yeah.
So either, whichever one, it's the ruling party, if you will, at the Sonic. And, you know, he's just stuck back in time, man. It's either that or it's one of the I came across a really bad stereotype while I was selling cars, and that was the stereotype of the person who's a shift manager at a fast food restaurant. That, you know, you and I have both met them, I'm sure. I don't know if you worked in fast food. Did
My
you ever work
job
in fast
was
food?
McDonald's, and I worked there for almost 3 years.
So did you have the manager that thought that because they managed a shift at a McDonald's that they were just God's gift to this planet, and they were the leading edge of leadership, if you will? Oh, that's a terrible sentence. I should really work on that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did have one of those, and my favorite thing is this was a very white, very affluent area where I grew up, and she had never
Ike has frozen. That's not the biz.
On my screen, I'm fine. I don't know what's
there
going
he is.
on.
There he is.
Oh, there you are. So the very lily white area where I grew up, and she never heard a word of Spanish. And of course, working in a McDonald's right outside of Chicago, there's going to be some Hispanics, some immigrants there. And they convinced this lady who thought she was the end all be all when it came to management that the word punta meant beautiful or pretty. They would call her puta straight to her face, and she had no idea. And I'm like, how do I know more Spanish than you do? And then she opened her mouth. I'm like, you were just one of those ignorant people. But yes, continue with your, so that's
number two is the person who, you know, the thing I always found, I sold cars to several of them at the Toyota dealership. The person who is a shift manager at a fast food restaurant, in my experience, the people that I sold cars to typically didn't have stellar credit either. And so you can draw whatever conclusions you want about that, or like maybe I just happened to pick the three that were bad, but like in general, there's some things that you start to pick up on about certain employment areas, and people tend to have stereotypes of what types of vehicles they're going to buy and what types of credit. That is the vehicle of somebody who is a shift manager. Or the final one is that's some 16-year-old's car. And like his parents told him, nope, you need to get a job. You're going to drive this crappy car. And that's all you got. That's what you need to do. So,
the thing that makes it so weird though, is that it is mint. Like it is like frozen in time from like 1988. It is perfect.
I seriously think then it might be an 18-year-old, or I'm sorry, a 16-year-old who like that's grandpa's car. Mm-hmm. And grandpa said, as long as you're working, you can drive him a car until you get enough money to save for something yourself.
Yeah. That's the only logical explanation I got for this, but I really want to, cause I always go there with the family and I think my wife would murder me if I got out of the car and put a business card underneath the windshield wiper. Like I need to know what the fuck is going on with this car. And you need to tell me right now.
Like, you know, you'd be starting to step on the toes of the Apex adjacent guys if you're going to start leaving notes on cars. You know, that's, you know, is that like cultural appropriation or something? Like, I don't know how that works.
I think it's one of those things where there's only but so much shit that can be done that's automotive related before it's just like, so what do we do now? We sit around and complain about the wingadingas, like, or the kids these days. I think that's how you get the people putting the kids on the cars, like looking into the cars at the car shows.
That's so
like,
terrible.
I don't get it, but it's like we've run out of ideas. Here's the thing.
Have you been to a Radwood car show yet?
No, I was going to go to Radwood Philly this year, and it got canceled because of I think there was a Backstreet Boys tour or something.
Must have been.
Yes.
So I went to the one in South San Francisco, which is not actually in South San Francisco. South San Francisco is like where the airport is. Yes. It's actually, there's two city. There's like San Francisco proper here. I've even got it up here on the
map.
I can even talk about it. Look at this. Mm-hmm. So if we just go here to South, we've got San Francisco here and then Daly City. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to basically go through Daly City to get to South San Francisco, or you can take 101. It's up to you. As you can see, like there's, South San Francisco is not really part of San Francisco. Anyway, there was a car show. They did a Radwood somewhere here-ish. If you can see my mouse moving on this screen, yeah. I can telestrate too. Check this out, everybody. Woo! Anyway, so somewhere near there, I remember because you could see airplanes, might have been down here too. You could see the airplanes take off from the airport as they would swing around kind of this direction and then back out and over the city to go west, presumably to Japan or whatever. And it was actually a really cool spot, but the reason I brought this up is you were talking about the kids staring into the car. The Radwood version of that appears to be in 64s laying inexplicably on top of like convertible Cadillacs from the early 90s. Like they're not plugged in, there isn't an obvious TV, but there's like Street Fighter cartridges and N64 controllers and stuff. It was actually quite good. They some like timeline appropriate or time appropriate rather magazines, for example, from the 90s that were out. So it's kind of cool. I do like this generation's take, if you will, on what should be at a car show instead of creepy kids staring into the car and also drive-in food on a tray.
Yeah, the drive-in food on the tray is like why. Like, I guess that's from your childhood and that was a good memory you had. But on that same point, though, the N64 is, that's a bit, because I get it's a celebration of all things 80s and 90s. But to me, I don't know if the N64 is, I guess that is 90s. I don't know when.
It is 90s. Yeah, I'd say that's 90s. Yeah. And like, I think that show skewed heavily 90s compared to 80s. And I think honestly, part of that is because there wasn't very many good cars made in the 80s. All the 80s stuff that was there was Japanese. There was your occasional 90s, you know, shitbox rolling around. Actually, really nice shitboxes that were there. I was tempted to take my Camry at the time. I still had that 01 Camry.
Yeah.
And I think on the technicality of, well, if it was designed prior to 2000, sometimes maybe we'll let you. And so I wrestled around with it in my head for a little bit. And I was like, no, I don't want to be that guy. And it's a beige Camry or whatever. And I showed up there and somebody had a 99 Camry just like mine.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, we could have parked together. I could have had my autocross stickers on there. Like, it would have been great, but it wasn't meant to be. And I instead went down there in just whatever car I had that day. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. It was actually on or around my birthday at the time it was down there. This is a couple years back. But no, good car shows. Brad Brown, Al, et cetera, they all put it on. Mm-hmm. Great events. You should definitely go. If people don't go to events like Radwood, there's going to be fewer car things for us to do.
Right.
So it's important that you support these people, mostly the people on Weird Car Twitter. I'm waiting for them to start making that a hashtag. But those are typically the people who are involved with making Radwood what it is. And it's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It was a good day out. It was not stuffy. And it wasn't you get this idea, and it ends up happening pretty routinely. Yeah. So, for example, the big car show that I would go to was out in Reno, Nevada, and it was hot August nights. And so if you're from the West Coast or you're into the old car scene, you know what hot August nights is. And you end up walking through all of – they have all these casino parking lots closed because there's tons of parking lots out there for the casinos. And you walk by, and it's Chevelle, 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 Mustang, Mustang, Bel Air, Chevelle, 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 Mustang, 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 Mustang. Camaro, Mustang, 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 Chevelle, AC Cobra, Mustang, 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 Chevelle, 1500 pickup, Chevelle, Chevelle. It's the same like six or seven cars over and over again. And Radwood is not like that. There was a lot of different stuff. There was a lot of different cars there. You had like somebody had like an F40 Ferrari.
Ooh.
People had slant nose Porsches. Somebody had like an Audi Quattro basically from like the 80s, 90s. Right-hand drive diesel Land Cruisers from the 90s, just cool stuff.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. So I'm a big fan of that. You should definitely go.
Oh yeah. No, it's the thing that's driving me most nuts about the lockdown situation, everything going on, is the lack of like good car shows, obviously. As I speak, the H2O show is going on, and
H2OI.
Was officially canceled years ago now, but is now an unofficial event, and people are still going like this year to the event, which I'm like, how? That just boggles my mind. Like, I know some,
police out in full force to deal with unsanctioned H2OI event in OC.
Yep.
I don't know where OC is. Ocean City, Maryland. City, okay, perfect. Yeah. So it's unsanctioned. They're still doing it. So apparently, if you want to go, I don't know what's going to happen when I pull up this webpage. So we'll see. Lots of Taboola ads. Fantastic. So we'll go back out of that. I hate those. If from now on, we're just going to start pre-screening. And if you have Taboola ads, you will not be featuring on our show.
Correct.
That is a lazy. Oh, here we go. Yes. This one, the lead image is of a Sylvia and an RX-7. Look at now it's a Nintendo Switch ad. All right. Well, anyway, that's interesting that it's still going on. I know, like, they canceled it a couple of years ago, right? And then you would think it would be, like, double canceled because of
COVID,
the stuff going on, right? Mm-hmm. And let's see. Is this ad done? Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, no. So this is from Delmarva Now. Thank you for letting me use your images. Oh no, look at those kids in their Nissan, or in their they've got a 240SX and they've got a S2000. What a bunch of what a bunch of punks. Flashing lights would follow seconds later to put a stop to the action. Wow.
Right.
Also, you can save with HP. Anyway,
my favorite thing about that event though is like all the people they know and they bitch about it because it comes up every year, like in the local car community talk events. like, oh, we're going to go to Ocean City because blah, 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 but we don't want to go, or we're afraid we're going to get the our cars impounded because our cars are too low, or our cars are this, that, and the other. And it's like, I bring up the same thing every year. It's like, you know, you don't have to go. Like, it's not an event anymore. Ocean City, as someone who's not from Maryland and has no nostalgia associated with it, is worse than the Atlantic shore. Like, it is, picture the worst part of like New Jersey and then like throw crab seasoning on it and like throw a pile of garbage on it, and that's Ocean City. It's not pleasant.
So, like, to provide some balance for the East Coast takes we have going here, my father lives in Dover, and he actually says that Rehoboth Beach is brilliant.
Yes, Rehoboth is amazing. Ocean City, garbage.
That's very fascinating to me that like they're literally right there, and you can have such a variation in how good or bad they are.
It's entirely,
that can't be more than an hour's drive. No,
no, it's not even that. It might be like 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Like, the difference is the boardwalk and the class of people at Ocean City ruin it. Like, I'm not trying to be like all elitist here, but it is, you go down the like boardwalk, when my wife tried to show it to me and be like, oh, this is Ocean City, it's an amazing place, you're gonna love it. And I'm like, when I went there, I was like 25, 26 at this point. And we're driving down the road, and I'm in my Challenger at the time. And it's a bunch of people trying to race me, even though there's no car show event going on. And right. Then she's like, oh, and here's a bar. And then there's a bar. And then there's a bar. And then this is a dance club. And then that's a dance club. And that's the dance club you can get into that serves alcohol. But there's like a side of it where like you can be 18 and get into it. But we always used to sneak over to the other side, and the cops know, but they don't care. And then that's the other one where like all the underage people go to drink. And then that's a hotel, and that's a hotel, and that's a bar, and that's a club. And it's like, is there like funnel fries or anything? Well, there's like a green turtle and like a couple places that sell super shitty t-shirts. And then bar, which/club/club. And it's like, you go to Rehoboth, and it's like, here's some saltwater taffy, and here's like a cute little mom and pop store. And like, oh, there's a tavern if you want to go drink that's not blaring music. And yes, I know I'm an old person, but
it does sound like an old man take. And right, seeing as it is my father, who's in his 50s now,
yeah,
who likes Rehoboth Beach, that would make sense.
Right. But it's the thing I don't understand is, there's no infrastructure. It's cars, right? You can't be in your car and be drinking, and all there is clubs there besides like a green turtle. And then there's like, the cops are going to come and they're going to take your shit away because your car is too fucking low. Hey, we're all going to go anyway. Like, why? I don't understand you people. Oh, and there's COVID going on right now, so you can't even go inside places anywhere. So what are you going to do? You can hang out at the parking lot and what? Like, stand 6 feet apart and look at your car before it gets impounded by the cops? I don't get it.
So I just pulled up the website for the green with an extra E turtle.
Yeah.
I had no idea what this was. Is this like the East Coast version of Bubba Gump Shrimp?
I don't know much about Bubba Gump Shrimp, but I'm going to go with no. It's basically a sports bar. Think like slightly less rapey than Hooters. Like somewhere between,
it would be difficult to be more rapey than Hooters, right? Like, if we're being fair,
somewhere between, it's closer to Buffalo Wild Wings, but they have like food, and I have to admit they have some pretty banging food, to be perfect.
They have flatbreads, baskets, yeah, burgers, bowls, and more. They have all kinds of things at this establishment.
Right. In fairness, so the first one was from the, so go down. We got it since you got this menu up, and we got
oh gosh, so go down. We're giving the green turtle
I'm giving a recommendation. If you go there, go to burgers.
Okay, so we're scrolling down now for those that are on just the audio. We're gonna go to burgers. Okay,
go to burgers.
We're on the green turtle's website.
See all,
oh my gosh,
yeah, that maple bacon brunch burger, fucking awesome.
Which is a half pound burger, maple jalapenos, pickles, bacon, gouda, fried egg, sesame seed bun for a total of 1,120 calories.
That
you can
is...
order it now. It's a Maryland inspired. Oh, that one's not. There are Maryland inspired dishes.
Not
that would be the
burgers.
Chesapeake burger with Old Bay seasoning.
Of course.
Old Bay.
That's what makes it Maryland. So
okay, all right. I'm going to go back to the map now, if you don't mind.
Yes. Yeah, so that's my thing with that, and that's kind of the thing that's been driving me a little bit nutty as of late is hearing, because there's a couple people in the local Fiero group who are like, we're going to H2OI. And it's
stop
like,
it. Okay, time out.
Yeah.
There's a local Fiero group. Like, it's one thing to say, like, oh, yeah, I've been complaining to people on Renlist, which is, like, the Porsche forum for the entire world or even just the United States. You're telling me there's a local Fiero group. There's a Baltimore/Washington/Virginia.
No, it's worse than that. It is specifically Baltimore area. So
it's a Baltimore. So, like, you don't have people from Philly. Like, hey, guys, no, what's going on?
No.
Wow.
It is. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of us, to be perfectly honest with you, but it is, it's fun because it's a bit of a, it's actually like a Facebook like messenger group is how we all chit chat with each other. And it is, it's like, I'm going to H2OI. Like, okay.
So hold on. The Fiero crowd is going to H2OI.
Well, it's funny you say that because they wanted to, but you'll never believe what happened. None of the cars worked. So
I do believe it.
So that's a thing. Yeah. So, speaking of that, took mine out for its first trip the other day, like to an actual gas station, filled it up with gas.
An actual gas station, yes, not a fake one.
I went a whole 5 miles away from the house and came back a whole 5 miles with hardly a breakdown, no breakdowns.
Nary a breakdown in sight.
Exactly. I did have an issue trying to accelerate uphill. I got passed by a UPS truck. So there's still something wrong with
those. Have a V10, okay? Like, you got to respect the UPS truck. Those are powerful machines.
This is a good point. This is. And it probably had absolutely no packages on it. It was probably on its way back. Like, so it's probably very lightweight.
Right.
So, yeah. So that was
Colin Chapman's UPS truck, if you will.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was disguised. Mid-engine something. So there's that. But yeah, so that's been kind of my fun little corner of, and see, I can point on my screen where is on your screen, but that's my little corner right there. Your whole screen popped up of the car world. I did see a broken down Karmann Ghia today, which was a little interesting.
That's disappointing. Yeah. You know what? I've often thought that a Karmann Ghia would be really well served with like a nice Subaru engine in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nice little 2-liter flat four Subaru motor.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Would fit, and then it would have power, and then it would be like, hi, I have a budget Porsche 356.
Yes.
Let me see if I can pull up a Karmann Ghia here. Continue talking.
Yeah. Well, the thing, it's very, I was with the family because that's all we do now is we get in the car and we drive around. But the biggest thing is I was telling the wife, like, it was a couple of, like, they look like it was probably like between 16 and like 22, so fairly young kids in a Karmann Ghia.
Okay.
It was painted like bright green, which was a little like lime green, like which lime was a little green. Unusual. But I was like, as we were driving by, I'm like, oh, we should stop and turn around and go back, because they had like pulled up into an area which was like somewhat inaccessible. But I then saw the giant puddle of oil that had just been like seeping underneath the car. Ooh, yes, very similar to that. It might have been that exact color. So
it looked long and hard to find a lime green one.
Yeah. So just picture that with the trunk open and just like all the oil, like from the Exxon Valdez leaking down the hill behind it. I'm like, well, there's no saving that.
That's no good.
Yeah.
The Karmann Ghia, of course, famous for which, okay, here, you know, I'll just ask this as a question and you can play along at home. In which movie does one of the main characters drive a Karmann Ghia?
I do not know the answer to that. If you know the answer to that, why don't you tweet at Ryan West? I think that's a good way to do it. And
it should be pretty easy for fans of like good movies from the late 80s, early 90s. Good movies which were recently recently were given a sequel of what I presume is going to be questionable quality, but it was delayed because of COVID. So
Wonder
yeah.
Woman.
No, it was not. It was not Wonder Woman. This was a realistic quote unquote television or not television. It was a movie that was realistic. So that purports to have maybe possibly could have been true at one point, but definitely wasn't They made no such claims, but it was at least semi-realistic, allegedly. Anyway, so
Batman.
It's not Batman, no. No.
The answer is always Batman.
It's never Batman. Never Batman. So, Ike, oh, where'd he go? He's gone.
I'm right here. I had to grab
fantastic. Something. Mm-hmm. So I figured I would run down. I made reference to this story a couple weeks back, yes. And it was the Porsche story that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I have a story about making bad financial decisions, and I was kind of spurred on by this last week on Apex Adjacent. I was given an FMK Cars, or rather I gave it to myself because I'm still trying to figure out what it is I want to buy as like my next kind of daily driver car. And I thought I stacked the deck in my favor. I really would quite like a BMW M240i.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pull this up here. I really would quite like one of these, and I would like the X1 so I can get the all-wheel drive as well. That's a good-looking car, I think, yes?
Yeah, another good-looking car.
Kind of takes you back to the, you know, smaller BMWs of old.
Yeah, I saw one of those on the road recently. I haven't seen one for a while. BMWs around here tend to be the larger SUVs now, unfortunately.
Okay.
I saw one of these driving around in like good shape, not being driven by a jackass. It was the like charcoal gray one. And I was like, like I and they're not too big, which I like, but they're a very reasonable size, I would say. A proper size for a proper car.
Exactly. So. And so I was quite excited, you know, to see what they thought about it. And it was almost immediately shot down as like, oh, this is another BMW.
Yeah.
So it was that or a Focus RS, which I'm sure all the people know what a Focus RS looks like. Right. I probably don't need to show that. You know, Ike, I was looking at Focus RS the other day. There's an awful lot of them with branded titles. Would you care to take a guess at what the title branding is?
I'm going to guess that they were wrecked and repaired. No.
They're Lemon Law Returns.
Oh, the head gasket issue.
The head gasket problem, yes. There was many of them in the Twin Cities area up here in Minnesota that were right around $27,000 to $28,000 with about 30,000 to 40,000 miles that have claimed to have had the head gasket repair done. So I don't know if there's anything to worry about with that. And I figured like, Focus RS suspension's probably a little harsh. You know, at the end of the day, it is a manual and like the pop, pop, fizz, fizz, bang, bang, as Ian and Dave referred to it, would be really grating, I think, after about 2 or 3 days. You know, I want something a little bit more stealthy than that. And then my third option that I thought was just the joke option was like a nice Porsche 911, like an 05 to somewhere around, you know, 2010, a 997, if you will, which I will now pull up. A nice Porsche 997 all-wheel drive, which I am just going to do right now, and I'm going to ramble until I get to a spot where I can resume the share. Bang! Something a little bit like that, which you can pick up for in the under 40 for sure, but usually in the 30s range, low 30s, you can pick one up. It's not going to be a cool optioned one. It's going to be a, you know, an automatic without the leather package, with nothing cool, with, you know, probably 100,000 miles on it, but as I'm going to go into, I have a friend that has a 911 from around that age, and it's been pretty good. So I don't know. Don't really know.
Right. It's going to be second wife spec is how I would classify that. So it's going to be someone who got it either as the like lover of a gentleman who left the first wife after he sold the tech company and got her the 911. So it'd be like, look, you have a fancy car. Or it's going to be, you know, someone who finally worked their way up into that money and is like, I'm going to get myself something nice, but is not necessarily a car person. But like a Porsche is one of those cars where it doesn't matter which one you have. Like when I owned my little Porsche 924 for a bit, and I would tell people be like, oh, what kind of car projects are you working on? I'm like, well, I'm working on a Porsche. They'd be like, ooh, Porsche.
Ooh,
look at that. Yeah. So it was, I think that's why you probably are going to be able to find, and that's why I'm not afraid so much of those cars. I'd actually be more afraid of the ones with the manual transmission, with kind of like the more stuff thrown into it, because I feel like those are going to be the ones that have been messed around with more and probably put on track.
Fair. Yeah. Or even if not on track, driven by somebody's son to prom night and back and completely thrashed on the way there because it's the first time. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there. So anyway, I figured, you know, you've brought up a lot of Porsche anecdotes. I figured I'd tell this Porsche story of I now have a lot of close relationships with driving Porsches, which I never thought I would really have, especially at this age.
Yeah.
So I used to work here. I'm going to go ahead and just start telling the story, but we're going to open up the telestrator, if you will. So I used to live down here in a little town called Redding, California. It's the gateway to the Cascades as well as the Sierra Nevada. So you've got all these fantastic mountain ranges here. It's just really gorgeous place to live, other than the fact that it's 115 degrees all the time. And currently this entire area right here is all on fire. And then about 2 years ago, this whole area was on fire, as well as down here in the Paradise area. That was all on fire. There's been fires here pretty routinely. There's a fire there, and then there was a fire here a couple, you know, a little while back. Anyway, you can start to see why I was excited to move out of California when it's like, oh, boom, we got some fires down here. Well, looks like we had one here as well. Looks like there's a couple out here in the El Dorado Forest. Yep. Oh, there's one down here in Stanislaus. Oh, cool. One right here. Yep. Oh, one here as well. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That one's not accurate. It was down here. Yep, we got a fire here as well. So anyway, lovely place to live, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I lived in Redding, so we'll just circle that again right here. I had a coworker who started working with me who was not a car guy, but he was a science teacher who decided he would take a swing at selling cars because he moved to Redding to be with his, at the time, girlfriend. And I, of course, you know, messed around with him because he had the annoying Minnesota accent at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to end up being friends because when you're at a car dealership, most of the employees are rather old. So the younger people end up hanging out with each other a lot.
Right.
I had at my time my 2006 Miata, which is the NC, so kind of the bigger one, the boat one, if you will, because I fit in it. And he had this V6 Mustang that was paid off, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to get a 2015 Mustang that we had just taken in on trade because I want a fast car. And then within 6 or 7 months, he started to worry about money a little bit and said, I shouldn't have a car payment. Ryan, can I drive your Miata? I think I'd like a convertible, but I don't want a big Mustang. I want something small. You've got nice mountain roads around here. No problem, Aaron. Go ahead, take it for a spin. He drives. He says, you know, that's just, it's not there. It's not really what I'm looking for. And so he spends, you know, a week or two looking on Craigslist. I tell him, hey, you know what? Look in the Southern Oregon Craigslist. Maybe you'll find something there too. And he kind of stops and laughs and says, hey, well, what about this Porsche? I said, well, what Porsche are you talking about? And so he had found a 140,000 mile. Ah, it's still there. He had found a 140,000 mile Porsche Boxster, not unlike this one that I'm showing here, in much worse condition. Much worse. So the paint's faded. It's got different wheels on it. Somebody had put in these nasty NRG racing seats and like a smaller steering wheel, which allowed me, of course, to drive it. Little 2.7 liter. It's like 210 horsepower. Or something. Not tremendously fast, but a Porsche nonetheless.
Right.
And so he decided to buy it for $4,000. The problem was it was up in Bend, Oregon, which if we go here is actually quite a distance to Redding. That's about a 5 or 6 hour drive usually. So we agreed to meet him. See, I'm just having such a good time doing this. We agreed to drive all the way up here, right here, and meet him in Klamath Falls, Oregon, where we then saw the car at night, which you're not supposed to do.
Yep.
And then he loaded us up with, you know, the spare. He had the original seats still that were kind of chewed up, and I drove it back. I told him, I said, hey, I'll drive it back and make sure you're not going to kill yourself in the car because you don't know what you're not a car guy at all. No idea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I drove it back about half the way. And I said, yeah, the car's fine. Like, it's whatever. It's rattly. It's an old Porsche. Like, it's everything still feels really tight on a 2000 Porsche. But it's like, yeah, the front end rattles around a little bit. Like, don't brake too hard. Don't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he drives that around for, you know, a couple months. It's got a lot of miles on it and all that kind of stuff. And the dealership group I worked for actually owns the Porsche dealership down in Monterey as well. They don't talk about that down at the Monterey Porsche dealer, but we are part of the same group. Monterey, you'll see, is way down to the south, kind of in the corner where it says Google on the map. And again, it's about a 5 or 6 hour drive the other direction. And it comes up, we have this system where we could look up any car within Lithia, which is like 200 or like 180 or whatever, however many stores it is. And we can look up every Porsche for sale in Lithia and then narrow down by price. And they had a 2003 Boxster, so the same body style, in like a magenta color, like literally the color of the pink Blue's Clues dog.
Yeah.
The like sister one or whatever. It was that color, but it had 45,000 miles on it, or just some stupid low amount of miles, and they had it for sale for like $12,000. And so Aaron looks at me and he says, how do I not buy this car? Like, I like the Boxster. It's a good car. And now I'm just buying basically a brand new one at this point, and then I'll never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Seems like a good idea, right?
Right.
So we start to make the long journey down to Porsche of Monterey. So we get to about here in Red Bluff, California, which is known for being home of a large rodeo. Other than that, there's nothing going on in Red Bluff. And actually, it's a little bit further because by that highway. So we get there, and one of the windshield wipers comes off the Boxster.
I think you need to unpause your screen, but yes.
Oh, I need to unpause my screen. My apologies. There we go. Bam, resume. So we get to about here is where Red Bluff is, and one of the windshield wipers comes off. And then we get to about here or so, and the rear wing, which was an aftermarket fake carbon fiber piece, comes off, and somebody comes up and frantically waves that it's only holding on by one of the arms. So we get to about there. We then get all the way into the Bay Area, and I say, hey, you know what? Let's go this way instead. I think it'll be a little bit faster because of the traffic. Actually, we went this way. And we get to about here-ish near Pleasanton, more or less, a little bit further. And, we had a flat tire. And not only do we have a flat tire, but it's like wheels from a 996 911. So they're like a weird size.
Right.
And we ended up burning an hour and a half waiting for a tow truck. Mind you, the whole time this car is not registered in our names. Because while we were up in Klamath Falls, the guy had just paid off the loan he had on it. So he had a registration. He said, oh, the title's in the mail. I'll mail you the title. So we have a car at this point that's like that he has owned in for like 6 months. But we don't have any ownership paperwork.
Right.
There's a huge Oregon license plate on it. Highway patrolman comes up after we're pulled over. Hey, do you guys need any help? Yep. We're fine. Thanks. Have a nice day. Go away. Please don't ask questions. Bye.
Yeah.
So we get that taken care of. Get the flat going. And while we're at a pizza place in Pleasanton, California, we're clicking through the Porsche of Monterey inventory. And I go, huh, you know what would be really funny is if you bought this Porsche 911 instead. That'd be hilarious. It looked about like this. This is very similar to the car. He has the same exterior color, interior color. This is a 2006, 2005, whatever, Porsche 911 Carrera S Cabriolet. It's the correct color and everything. And so it was basically this car with 32,000 miles for like 36 grand or something like that. And at this point he was actually making decent money, and I said, haha, that'd be really funny if you bought that. He's like, haha, yeah. And he kind of looks at his phone a little bit longer and goes, well, why shouldn't I buy that instead?
Yeah.
So we of course get to the Porsche dealer. We take it for a test drive. The sales, granted, we're wearing ratty sweatshirts and like nasty basketball shorts from high school.
Yeah.
So we look like a bunch of fools at a Porsche dealership. He ends up buying it. I then am tasked with, and we turn this 6 hour road trip into like an 8 or 9 hour road trip. And then we have to drive home. And so I had told him on the way down, I'm not going to be the one who's pulled over driving your sketchy stolen Boxster, basically, right, is how it would appear in a system. And so I will be driving the new Boxster back. He said, oh, that's fine. So he gets outside and he takes his picture with the 911. And then, he kind of looks at me and then he looks down at the key. I said, look, man, I understand that you just got a really cool car, but I still do not want to get pulled over.
Right.
And like harassed for having a stolen car. And so he kind of understood where I was coming from. So we drove from Salinas, which is down here we were in Monterey. So we went this way up the coast to Santa Cruz, is roughly right here. And then when we got to Santa Cruz, I switched back into the 911. And I then had the pressure of driving my friend's brand new 911 to him all the way home without falling asleep and crashing it.
Yeah.
So it was like one of the least fun experiences of my life, which I couldn't believe. So he gets that and loves it. He starts to take up skiing because there's, of course, lots of ski areas in this region. So here they have this place, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Ike, called Lake Tahoe.
It's full of water, I understand.
Full of water, but then all of these mountains around the edge have lots of snow on them.
Okay.
It's like some of the best skiing in the world, allegedly. And then there's a nice little tiny ski mountain up here as well. So he gets into skiing and says, well, I can't take the 911 skiing because in California they enforce chain restrictions. You can't take certain cars on certain passes if it's snowy.
Yeah.
He said, and again, not a car guy.
Right.
And he's moping around the dealership, looking at 4Runners, looking at RAV4s. I just don't like any of this. It's too bad Porsche doesn't make an SUV. He literally said the words, it's too bad Porsche doesn't make an SUV. And so me and one of the other guys kind of turns and looked at him like, hey, dumbass.
Yeah.
Porsche does make an SUV. And like from that moment on, you could see the wheels turn in his head. Oh, he's going to buy a Cayenne now.
Right.
He settles on one such as this, which is a white Cayenne Turbo with the black interior. This one's depicted as the tan. His is the black. So he ended up buying a 100,000, I'm sorry, it was 89,000 mile example of that down in Los Angeles, which is way down here. So we actually flew to, or we actually drove to Sacramento, stayed the night. That night we actually went gambling and won like $800 or $900 playing poker.
There you go.
So we then flew first class from Sacramento to Los Angeles, which is about a 45 to an hour flight.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, we felt like ballers for that long. And then we took the world's longest Uber to wherever this stop was. And so anyway, the point is, I had my friend who was not a car guy go in the space of about 9 months from owning zero Porsches to owning three. So that Cayenne was about $26,000 or something. So he's got quite a bit of money coming out in Porsche payment right now.
Right.
And he ended up moving back to Minnesota, and I helped him drive the 911 to Minnesota when COVID first started. We actually both got laid off around the same time. Mm-hmm. And he said within 2 hours of him getting laid off, I got laid off. And then he found out 20 minutes later that he got laid off. And so about 2 hours later, he calls me and says, hey, I'll be in Sacramento at 10. We're going to drive the 911 back to Minnesota. So great. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, so I drove a 911 in the snow in Minnesota. That was a good time too. Not, not a good scene. So anyway, those are my Porsche stories. Anyway, I told you that story to tell you this. That 911, he's got probably 45,000 miles on it now. So he's put quite a few miles on it, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sturdy car. It's pretty stout. Like, there's not a lot of, like, I would hate if something did go wrong. I fully am aware that, like, it would be expensive to fix.
Right.
But they're pretty sturdy. And then you look online and people are saying, yeah, they're pretty good. I think after 06, the IMS bearing, it stops being an issue or something. I don't know specifically. Yeah,
I forget what changed, but something changed with that bearing.
Right. So like they have an improved version. So it's like way less of a problem than it is on the older ones.
Right.
But if you go like after 2010, it's a totally different motor anyway, but those are like 50 grand still.
Right.
So anyway, it sounded like such a dumb idea in my head at the time. And then now I'm like, I see my friend pull into it, 'cause I work with him in Minnesota now too.
Yeah.
I see him pull in his, and it's like, well, why wouldn't I buy that? And then it's like, well, that's not really the responsible thing to do, because then the back seat's not really a back seat. Like that M240i, I went and test drove a 228, or I'm sorry, it was a 230. Right. So it's the same car, but just not the go fast one. And like my wife could sit, not behind me, but like my wife and then my daughter could sit behind each other.
Right.
As far as space, like nobody's gonna be able to sit behind me ever, but at least on the other side of the car, you could take three people if you had to.
Right.
In a pinch, it would work. Whereas, like, the 911, the rear seats do not get used. I have never seen somebody get out of the back of a 911, ever. Because it's just not a thing.
Well, I think it's one of those things where you got to... Because your kid is in the front-facing seat, obviously, now.
Yes, yeah.
So... And they're in the front-facing seat for quite a while, which is a little crazy. Like, I think it's like they're damn near 10 before they're out of the front-facing seat now, because restrictions and all that.
Right, or at least you have to do the booster thing and then all the...
Right, yeah. So
I don't think it's 10. I think it's like 6 or 7. But it's still a long time.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, realistically, those back seats were meant for kids. Like, that again, to go back to the first thing, like, that car was built, like, with the automatic transmission to be the kind of car, you know, that you could take your little skinny trophy wife and put in beside you, and then put your little skinny kid behind her. And then that would be kind of the car you would drive around. So like that back seat, while not usable in like, you can't take you, your friend, and like, you know, a couple other guys and head off to, I don't know where one would go in Minnesota for a fun time.
Milwaukee, presumably.
Yeah, the Mall of America. We're going to the mall.
Hey, man, my daughter loves the Mall of America because there's a theme park in the middle that's right. Nickelodeon themed. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh my god. But yeah, like that's the thing. You're not going to load up with a bunch of people, but for a small family, it's not a bad option. I mean.
The problem is she's already so tall. Her legs are so long. Mm. If my wife was sitting in the passenger seat of the 911, my daughter would not fit behind her. Now, ironically, if she didn't have to be in the car seat, I bet she would fit. But yeah. Because the car seat sits up and out like 6 to 8 inches, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's going to be what pushes her over the edge. If I was willing to not put her in a car seat, which I'm not,
yeah,
she would fit. But like, well, it's, yeah.
Do you have a convertible car seat? Do you have the one that like goes from like itty bitty baby to like full blown?
So like, mine starts at like 15 pounds or something. So yeah. It's like in depth, like you can go forever. After 15 pounds, it goes until they're like 60 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's quite large.
Yeah, maybe that's the issue. Maybe you got to find, you got to get to 911 and you got to get the child seat. Like maybe that's what
like
you got to
do. 911, like, see, the other thing is, like, my buddy's has, like, 45K on it. I'm going to be buying a 911 with, like, 100,000 miles on it. Like, even a 100,000-mile Camry needs an alternator, you know?
Right. Well, I think, like, you know, that's a good point, too, because your buddy has one. So I think that means, you know, we're kind of passing up the issue. You can't have the same car as your friend has.
Okay, like, but see, the thing is, his is a very, like, old man spec, like, red with tan, ugly. Mm-hmm. I would be getting, like, a white or silver hard top.
Yeah.
And it would look different. Like, it, yeah, it's all same car, but, like, it would look different, for sure.
Yeah, you're right, because, well, is this a convertible, too, or is it a...
His is this car, literally this car.
Okay. Yeah, so you could go hard top, and that would work. I don't know. But the fact that he already has a 911 leads me to go with the 2 series, kind of what
see, I go with the 2 series, like, yeah. And, like, that's what I was originally leaning towards. But to just have, you know, people who I respect in the automotive space be like, I was like, oh, okay, well. And then, like, I would trust a 911 to not leave me stranded more than I would trust a 2 series. But, like, on the flip side, it's got the good motor now. And then, right. Like, if I want the 235i, which is the same M235i, which is the same car, but with the older engine in it that's in all the BMWs that have had those that motor for, like, the last
right.
6 or 7 years, in theory, the kinks are worked out. Those are, like, $20,000. So they're way cheaper, and it's like, well, yeah, but BMW, repair. And so I keep coming back around to Toyota really should have made a good Corolla hatchback that was fast.
They should have. Well, what did the Corolla hatchback have? The most recent one, the...
Well, it's got the 1.8. Or no, I'm sorry, they do the 2-liter now. So it's the new 2-liter, which actually is an okay engine, but they don't make like a hot one. It's just like, oh, this is a decent engine. It's got 185 horse or whatever, but it's in a small car. Very peppy, just not right. what I want. If I was going to do that, see, and that's the other thing. Mazda is going to make at the end of the year the Mazda 3, which is already a stunning car.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful car, and I've test driven one as well. They drive great.
Yeah.
They're going to make a turbo 2.5 that's supposed to have 250 horse. In addition to, here we go. We'll just unpause this. In addition to making it all-wheel drive. So it's going to be an all-wheel drive, 250 horse, which is like 50 horsepower less than the BMW. And I think to myself, oh, well, 2.5-liter turbo, surely there's tunes for it. And, like, this engine has been in the CX-5, it's right. been in the CX-9, it's been in the Mazda 6, it's been in all these cars for such a long time. There is not a tune to be found for that motor.
Yeah, I know Mazda buttoned up the motor recently in terms of trying to keep tuners out of it for some reason. I think because they were having... The Skyactiv, I think, is fairly close to, like, its, like... like usable limit in terms of, like, if you try and make this thing, if you go one direction with this car too, with those motors right now too much, like, it, they're already kind of pushing a limit and they would right. just not be reliable. I think that's why.
It's really a bummer because I know that on the 2.5-liter, the little bit older one, yeah. so the one from like 2013, right is mm-hmm. the same as the Ford motor, and people get 300-400 horsepower out of those semi-reliably in, like, yeah. Miata applications, for example. Or also, I think that BAC mono thing yeah. that they make in Britain, I think that uses a 2.5-liter Ford.
It does, yeah.
And that's pretty fast. Now, it's a lot less car to cart around for the car. But, you know, it's a really common application for, like, a tuner engine. So I figured, like, you know, maybe it can't be that different, right? Like, is it really that marginal? Like, I don't know. But that was the other thing is I kind of want it to be quick. And like, I'm not saying 250 horsepower is slow.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to spend, and that's the thing, is an M240iX used is about 30 grand, 30 to 34. The base price for the 2.5 liter turbo Mazda is going to be 30, which leads me to believe that like the one you want that has any options at all is going to be about 34. So they're about the same price. And BMW is a lot faster. And then there's tons of go fast parts for it. And I won't look like an idiot at the track if I go to the track.
Why not? I think you're missing the most painfully obvious answer. A Volvo S60 Polestar.
They're so expensive.
Even in the used market?
They're still like 30 or 40 grand.
Yeah, it's 911 money.
I'd rather have a 911 if I was going to do that. Yeah, if I was gonna throw money away on a large car, I'd buy a $12,000 BMW M5 with a V10 and save up 20 grand for repairs.
Hey, good point.
I would do that. See, that's the other
thing.
There
you go. There's your answer.
There's my answer. Well, then it's not all-wheel drive. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't know. Well, this is the crux of the issue when it comes to being a car guy, though, is you get to the point where it's almost like you know too much. Like,
right.
You can't make the decision easy because you know way too much about it. It's not like your friend with the V6 Mustang going, I don't know what I want. A Miata sounds fun and they're cheap. Well, a Boxer is cheap. Why don't I get a Boxer?
Right.
Oh, I like 911's good. 911.
Yeah. When he bought that Boxster, he didn't think to himself, if this motor grenades, I can't afford to put another motor in it because the motor's $7,000.
Right.
And I'm buying a $3,000 car with a $7,000 motor.
Right.
Not a good scene. Like, yeah. So I, yeah, you know, if once you've seen how the sausage is made, and like, right. Doubly so for me, when I see people bring in used cars all the time, and I see which used cars get brought in that always have issues constantly, right. And 9 times out of 10, the used car manager goes, oh God, it's a BMW. Do we have to? I'm not keeping it.
Right.
I'm not keeping it. We're just going to send it to the auction. And sure enough, some 19-year-old kid rolls up in his WRX and is like, oh, dude, bro, I saw you guys had an M3. And it's like, dude, I'm telling you, he wants to buy the car. I'm not selling him the car. It's going to break down. He's going to come blame us. Well, yeah, but like, we'll just tell him it's as is. Like, right. It doesn't matter. He still will come back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we have a shop, right? Like, we can inspect it. Dude, it doesn't matter. Well, we can inspect it till we're blue in the face. It doesn't matter. It's going to come back. Mm. So that really scares me about the BMWs thing. It's like, I'm like, it's going to be not fun. So, and then like, how much money am I going to lose on a BMW when I decide in a year and a half that I'm like, oh good. I shouldn't be spending 35 grand on a BMW. It's going to lose a ton of value. So at least the cheaper one, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even at 20 grand, it's like, huh, might take a $5,000 hit on that in a couple of years. Like that kind of sucks.
Mm. Fiesta ST then. That's the answer.
No, because 2 weeks ago you told me how you don't have that many electrical problems. My cars have no electrical problems. They've never had electrical problems.
It's never left me stranded though. It's just like the radio stays on or it doesn't work.
Everybody has a different description too of like which electrical issue their Fiesta has specifically. And like some people it's like, oh yeah, the AC never comes on. You hit the AC button, it's on for a second, it turns off again.
the electrical gremlin in that is entirely the sync system is exactly what it's from. Like the radio doesn't kick on sometimes the buttons just lock out. It tends to be like when the weather's changing, like from hot to cold or cold to hot, like it just like freaks the fuck out for some reason.
Right, a good car would do that, obviously.
Right,
a good car would be concerned about a weather change. Dear Lord.
It has some, but in terms of issues, all it requires is once. I mean, I've had the car, 5 years now? And it's one of those things where all it takes is, like, I've probably had to do it, like, 3 times now where I have to go in and pull the stupid fuse out of it to, like, turn off the radio.
Fuse out. Just keep the fuse out and buy yourself a Bluetooth speaker.
No.
And then you'll be fine. And just then it's like, oh, good, I have a Fiesta.
It works. Just... 3 times in 5 years, pulling one fuse to get the damn thing to work. It's fine.
You think
the Focus RS would be any different? It's got the same.
I have to assume so, right? Like, aren't they built in different factories? Like, I feel like the trainees are the ones that put together the Fiestas, and then like, you have to like work your way up in the union to like be a Focus RS man. Like, I don't know how that works, but like it would seem to reason that like you don't want Steve, who's Joe's cousin, who's a little bit misguided, putting together your night. No, but that happened though, because they put the wrong head gaskets in.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I'm saying. Like the Fiestas, at least the difference between a Fiesta ST hatchback and a Fiesta like normal hatchback is a big ass turbocharger and some suspension shit. So they built millions and millions of these things, and all they got to do is occasionally slap right. a bigger turbo.
They built millions and millions of them, and they're all dog shit. They were selling them for like $99.95 in my hometown, new. Like, please take these cars away. We can't sell them. Please take them. You can do zero down, and we'll get you out of here for $89.95, $150 payments.
There's some ASMR shit going on here.
We'll tell Ford some weird shit so we get all of the rebates. We'll also tell them that you need 50 score when you're actually.
I need you to stop whispering in my ears right now. I need you to stop doing.
Now I don't know that Ford dealers. I don't know that Ford dealers specifically did that. That would be libelous for me to say that I knew they did that.
You just assume.
It's just really shady when you see commercials for brand new cars that are $89.95. Speaking of crappy cars that are cheap, do you still want a Mirage?
I was about to say there are two. There's a shade tree, like I guess is the best way to describe it. Auto selling place near me, and they have two Mirages they got at some auction, and I need to go in and see how much they are.
At the auction.
Well, they came in like it's one of those things where like you drive by one day, and then you drive by the next day, and now all of a sudden there's two Mirages, which means they bought two Mirages
right.
at some auction because they're not buying them off of. I haven't seen a Mirage driving around, and they're both hatchbacks, which I love. So why do you ask though? I want a Mirage.
I when I think of Fiesta, like I think of like cheap cars, I think of whichever one is the Chevy one. I don't know if it's the Spark or the Sonic. It's one of those.
I don't know. One of them.
Yeah. Whichever one it is. And then there's the Fiesta and then there's the Mirage. But I always like to think of the Yaris and the Fit as like a cut above. I think I've talked about this before and like a long time ago. I drove a Honda Fit when I worked for the county, and that's a great car. If you're looking for a pro tip here, right? Actual consumer advice. If you're looking for a cheap city car, you should look at nothing that isn't like an 06 to 2010 Honda Fit that costs literally nothing. And then when you put the seats down, the back is fucking massive. I put so much shit in the back of a Honda Fit and then drove around with California exempt plates, and it was fantastic.
Oh, but yeah, the slowest car on the planet, obviously, to fit.
Doesn't matter. Super peppy. You can throw that at a corner. It does not care. That is the best handling slow car of all time.
Now, was it the one with the manual or the one with the automatic?
Oh, this was an automatic, but it was still a 4 or 5 speed. It was still great. Right. Great car.
Because they sold the Fit for a while. I knew they sold them in two versions. They sold them in, it's got a manual, and that's all you get. And it's got an automatic and it has everything. And there was nothing in between those two.
So this one, we had two. There was one that was automatic that still had, like, both of them had electric windows. And one had a screen and the other one did not. But neither had a backup camera. But one had, like, a touch screen. The other one just had, like, the regular hand controls. They were the same year, allegedly. So one of them must have had, like, a convenience pack. But it was not the base one. You know what else would be a really good small car? I actually went up to Road America to watch the IMSA race a few weeks back. I was reminded that these exist, and it's the Mahindra Roxor.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, that'd be great. And then I seem to remember, like, didn't they lose some lawsuit? They can't sell them, like, publicly, right? Oh, that sucks. And people were driving these around instead of golf carts or, like, Razors or whatever. I thought, that looks kind of cool. And I bet, like an old Jeep, basically. Like, the money's been amortized over time, right? It's the same design.
Yeah.
It can't be that expensive to make these. I looked online on Mahindra's website. How much do you think a Roxor costs?
$15,000.
It's like $18,000 if you want stuff on it. Like, you can buy a car for that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Same thing with the Polaris Slingshot. Hi, I'd like a car, but without all the car stuff. Right. But I still want to pay full price.
Right. Well, that was the thing when I looked into getting stuff for the compound here, I guess, is like the acreage, because I got 4 acres now. I was like, well, I'll buy a small ATV or something like that. Those things are expensive. Like, they're like
super expensive.
Like a single person, like ride on ATV is in the like $8,000 to $20,000 range. And that's just ridiculous. And like a side by side, they're like more expensive than like a base Fiesta. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like
you can buy some expensive side by sides. So it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't get it. Which is why I have a $400 Ranger now. Like,
right.
Well, why not? Yeah.
I bet if you pull the bed off that, it'd be super light.
It probably would be. Well, especially with all the rust that's in that fucker. So,
like, if you take the bed off of that, will it still be structurally sound?
I don't know. I haven't done it yet.
Has it now become a monocoque because the frame is so bad?
I was looking under there the other day, and it looked like the least rusted part of the vehicle was the frame rails around the bed. So I'm hoping that's the case. So we'll see. Fingers crossed, like that kind of thing. But yeah, and also I discovered my welder no longer works, so that's great. So that's
Did you have a real welder, or do you have one of those like 120 outlet welders?
Right.
I'm just curious.
How long have we known each other?
I'm just wondering, man. Like I remember looking into welders for a long time, and we didn't have a spare 220 to plug into at my buddy's house.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we're not gonna get one of these sheet metal welders to try to like do framework.
Yeah.
Do you have a real welder?
No, fuck no.
I'm just making sure.
I have the Harbor Freight one that like has like, it's Chicago Electric, which is not a real fucking brand.
Yes, it is. It's Harbor Freight's brand. It's the house brand.
But it's not even their brand anymore, I think. I think they moved on to something else. I think
something else.
Yeah, it's like Pittsburgh something now. We're just moving from cities. So like we've already besmirched the name of Chicago. I think that's why that Chicago gets so much guff in the news too. They're like, fucking piece of shit welder. Harbor Freight has ruined the reputation of Chicago single-handedly. I was expecting a pizza joke there, Ryan.
That's okay.
But yeah, it stopped feeding wire. So I'm like,
Well, that would be an issue.
That would be an issue. But I did see a guy who's like, well, if you just drill in the tip of it, you can put a stick in it and you can just use it as a stick welder. I'm like, that just might be what the fuck I do. So
Jesus Christ, that sounds tremendously dangerous.
Well, probably. Yeah.
Like I can't imagine something I want to mess with less than a Harbor Freight power tool. Doing a homebrew mods on a power tool from Harbor Freight. I just don't know about that.
Yeah.
That seems a little, that's a little sus.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. If there's no episode next week, you'll know why. But floor pans for that thing are not expensive, so I'm working on getting that done. So it might just be a combination of some sheet metal screws and some rivets and a whole bunch of JB Weld to hold together the floor, because the floor is the bad part. So I don't know. We'll see. And it doesn't really need to be perfect. It's driving around on basically 4 acres of land for foreseeable future. So
it's four acres is a lot of land. I think that's pretty. Well,
two acres is wooded. I have yet to be to the back of my property. It's that way.
You haven't seen it even?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
There are ticks galore in that part of my property.
Okay. Get some nice socks. Some good socks. It's about to be winter anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for winter. So
Winter is coming.
Well, it's Maryland, so very rainy, slightly cold weather is coming. So
I'm pretty stoked for the snow that everybody says is going to come here in Minnesota. I'm actually very excited.
Mm-hmm. Snow is the best. I love it. Don't die.
Yeah, I think I'll be okay. Like, I'm a competent snow driver. Like I said the other week, like, I don't need the all-wheel drive, but it is a case of if I have to go to work 60 miles away, I want literally every single possible advantage on my side.
What is the cheapest all-wheel drive car you could get right now?
The cheapest all-wheel drive car you can get right now. I have to, okay, so it's either, I'm willing to bet it's a Subaru Impreza. I bet you could probably go to a dealership and get a base Subaru Impreza with like a manual and like no anything on it for like $19,000. I bet that's the cheapest.
Just get that.
No, I don't fit, and they're rattle boxes and they're terrible.
Right. Well, that's, man, you're going to be driving a fairway. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll figure this out. We'll get this figured out before you die in a snowdrift. That's the plan.
I'm gonna die. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota's big. You're gonna get a snowdrift. You're gonna get disoriented. The wolves are gonna come get you. It won't be you died because you hit the snowdrift. It'll be you'll be dead because the wolves will eat you after you try and flee from them, stuck in your little Miata somehow on the side of the road.
I wish I still had that Miata. That'd be fantastic. I never think of Minnesota as like a huge state. And then I realized the other day when I went up to, here, I'll go ahead and pull this over. Mm-hmm. I realized the other day I live in St. Cloud. And my wife and I drove up to Duluth, and we've been to Duluth a couple times, and then we've done all the stuff in, or a lot of the stuff in Minneapolis. But like, there's a whole 60% of the state I have never seen at all. Like, I've seen most of California. Like, 80% of the things that there is to see in California, I've seen at least once, or at a minimum, driven past it real briefly.
Right.
So, but like, I have no idea what's north of Duluth, and I have no idea what's in Bemidji. I've been to Brainerd to go to the track, and so I've just done this little narrow passageway along basically one highway from Brainerd to Minneapolis. And like, I drove through Fargo, eh? You're gonna go to Fargo?
Mm-hmm.
I've been through Fargo, and I did not stop there because I was on my way to home at that point. So there's this whole state I haven't seen. Unfortunately, given the terrain and the geography, I get the feeling there's not much else to see.
No, there's not. It's the Midwest. It's flat and it's boring, and you're not missing anything.
Yeah, like where I live does genuinely look like, we talked about this last week, it does look like Iowa where I live.
Yeah.
In St. Cloud, 100%. Now, if you go up north to Duluth, it's like, oh, this is nice. Like, I could get down with this. And I'm sure Bemidji is pretty, but like, yeah, the Wisconsin's way nicer. I'd much rather live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but then you got to be a Packers fan, and that's just not allowed. So,
I just don't want to be a pro football fan at all. Anyway,
yeah, I think I think that's a good place.
I think
to
that's good.
It.
I think yes. That's good as well. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Ryan, where do we find you on the internet? Until
so, right now, you find me on the internet on this podcast, and then you also find me at Daily Driven Racer is my new tag for a series I was going to do on writing, and then I moved, and then COVID happened, and I can't get press cars, and I don't write very much anymore. But anyway, I have a really good idea for a good series that I don't think a lot of people are doing. It's going to kind of combine something I want to talk about next week is why are car people and racing people different people?
Yes.
Am I the only person who is both, and why is that so weird? Anyway, and so it's like a brilliant, I think, mix of that I think would be really good. And so I preemptively secured names on social media to do that. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. And this show's at Untitled Car Show on all the media social, but basically
you're very quiet.
I'm very quiet. I apologize. So Untitled Car Show everywhere. Twitter's the best place. Tell a friend. And other than that, have a good night, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening.
And have your pets spayed and neutered.
All right, everyone. Love you.
I need to find you. No, like your sound is actually way quiet. Like you adjusted the gain or something.
Nope, somehow that got twisted.
Still can't hear you.